This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Amazing people that aren't us.
Megan McLaughlin is full of hope and passion to do good. That much is clear from the moment that you start talking to her. After finding herself legally blind and in renal failure, she experienced firsthand the challenges that both organ donor and recipient families face. After recovering from her own kidney transplant, she chose to use her experiences to help others. She is the founder of charity Herd of Hope, which promotes organ donation to the community and supports families affected by the organ donation process. It's great to see that Megan has been recognised as the local hero for South Australia in 2019, and it's an honour to talk to her this morning. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Sam. How are you going?
Doing well. Now, can you first of all explain what Herd of Hope is and how it came about?
So about nearly 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with renal failure. So as a diabetic, I had gone from 63% of kidney function to 23% in about 3 months. And I was born with one kidney, so I was a bit on the wrong side of everything to start off with. And I went on to dialysis and needed a transplant. And I grew up in regional South Australia. And when I went through the event of having a transplant, I realised there was a lack of services in regional areas. So I returned home, and my dad, Jim Willoughby, has worked on film productions for about 40 years in Australia, so The Light Horseman, McLeod's Daughters, things like that. So I, in my wise wisdom, one day rang him and said, I'd like to put a herd of cattle on Sydney Harbour Bridge, to which you could imagine the response. And he hung up on me, and 45 minutes later he rang me back and said, well, you could do this. So that's how the Herd of Hope was launched. We wanted to do an event which brought this nation together so that we realised that there's no us and them. There's this great divide in Australia at the moment where, you know, we used to go out and see everybody in the country and spend weekends together. We're just isolating ourselves. So unfortunately, at the time that was decided, you in New South Wales had a cabinet reshuffle, and the new road minister that came on board wasn't all that enthused about cows on the bridge. Imagine that. So for the 45 minute event, it was just no, not happening. Mm. So we left the meeting quite disheartened, and the mayor of Waverley Council down at Bondi Beach rang us and said, come to Bondi. And so we did. So we brought 40 head of cattle onto Bondi Beach last March to bring awareness for regional health services, especially affected by organ donation. So 1 in 3 transplant recipients are regionally based, and 1 in 3 donors are regionally based. And there's little no services available for their post-journey, so after everything's happened. So that's how it all came about, and it just grew because Australia's a very kind place to live and everyone has been so generous.
I mean, what a way to turn heads when you imagine people down at Bondi Beach doing their hipster thing, and then suddenly, there's a whole bunch of cows down here.
Scott Camcraft, who did all our filming for us for free, like amazing people. There was another guy called Chad that did all our roadblocks for free. That should have cost us $100,000.
Yeah.
An event that should have cost us nearly $250,000 cost us $12,000.
Wow.
Because Sydney, oh my gosh, the whole country got behind us. And Scott said one of his highlights of the morning was setting up the drone, and this guy's running down Bondi as they do, and he just stopped and he rang a mate and he's like, mate, there's cows on the beach. I'm not joking. I'll FaceTime you, mate. And he said that was his highlight. So, yeah, we had 3,000 people down on the beach for that event, and that's what transpired into the nomination I received. Was a lady down there that I'd never met nominated me for an Australian of the Year award.
That's incredible. Absolutely amazing. Now, let's talk about your own medical complications. You've had some serious ones in your life, being, I mean, legally blind, the kidney transplant as well. How has that experience influenced your work through Herd of Hope?
I lost my eyesight 11 years ago through some complications with some surgery that went wrong. And then 3 months later, my kidney failed. So when I was brought up, I was brought up in, you know, on a farm, and my dad's favourite saying to us was, it's a long way from your heart, get up, dust yourself off. And so I never was unable to feel sorry for yourself. So when I lost my eyesight, had to have a transplant, that never even crossed my mind. And we don't give ourselves enough credit as humans how resilient we can be. You can get on with life. And post having a transplant, I've had cervical cancer. So I've had my cervix removed. I've had, I think, my right ovary removed. I should check that. I've had two skin cancers cut out of my lip. I've had complications with my liver. But what's the alternative not to be here? Like, I'm so grateful. I'm probably the luckiest person in Australia. Just to even get up every morning and get on with life. So that's what we've got to take, is the positive in everything. So don't look at it as a setback. Look at it like, why can't I do everything that everyone else is doing? Let's have a go.
You are incredible, Megan. I'm just floored by your resilience, but also your positivity. Can you talk through some of the shortcomings of care of families that are involved through that organ transplant process? Because you are trying to make a change.
Yeah, so what we found, and this is why we've called the charity the Herd of Hope, is even as humans, we find strength in a herd. So if we didn't, bullying wouldn't exist, there wouldn't be all the complications socially that we see. So we wanted to be a voice for those that couldn't stand up. And as we know, people in regional areas don't complain. They just keep going and then have a heart attack and everyone goes, oh, I didn't even know they were crook. So a family that really set me on the path for what I did were a family by the name of Polonini's in Joogeong in New South Wales. So that's 1 hour and 7 minutes from Canberra. Now, they lost their son, Louis, in a rugby incident when he was 15. And they decided to donate his organs. Obviously, with all organ donation, it's mainly directly related to a tragic accident, because less than 1% of people die in circumstances where organ donation is even possible. Mm-hmm. So they decided to donate Louis's organs and went on to save 5 people's lives. Now, they struggled losing their son. Sorry, I get really upset about where they were. And they were told they were just too far out for services and just couldn't facilitate mental health services. And to me, that just wasn't good enough. As a transplant recipient myself, I'm only here today because of people like the Polonini's saying yes. In a moment where they've just lost one of the most important people to them, they've thought of others and said, we want to stop other families from leaving their loved ones. So to me, you get in a car and you go and see that family. You go and visit them and make sure they're okay. With cancer, they do amazing work. So families who lose a child through cancer get a fortnightly visit in regional areas. And that's what we want to start to facilitate for these families. It just seems very unfair that a person that's given so much back to Australia and saved other people's lives isn't looked after in that regard. So that's what we're trying to change, so that we can get someone right there with them. And on the other flip side, with the transplant recipient, we don't want them to feel alone. You return home and you immunise the crescent, so you can't shake people's hands anymore and can't engage in ways that you used to, and you become isolated. So let's not let them feel like they're alone anymore. And, you know, we get over 100 forms of contact a week, our charity, and I probably have 3 a week that are from transplant recipients saying, I've loaded the gun, I've had enough, I'm going out to the shed, I don't want to do this anymore. The guilt, survivor guilt, is just far too great. So let's support these people and say, the world's a bloody good place with you in it.
So good, Megan, seriously. And one of the things that you're doing through Herd of Hope is that you're running camps for siblings affected by organ donation. Can you tell us how important that is to the kids?
Oh, my goodness. So on the 1st of August this year, we're holding this Australian First Camp. So we've recognised that children are affected by organ donation very differently. So the first camp is called Hope Out Back. So we're flying 11 kids out to Undoolia Station in the Northern Territory to have a working cattle experience. So
Wow. We'll
be doing, horse therapy, painting, like rock climbing, indigenous bushwalking, everything along those lines, just taking it back to the roots of where, how these people survive out in the bush, and they get through droughts. They're in a terrible drought at the moment, but they're walking around and they're just happy to be here. So we wanted to take these kids and their family member, so their mum or guardian will bring them out as well, and they'll film their own little herds so they don't feel like they're alone. And we're very lucky that In Kind Alice Springs has got behind us, Undoolia Station. Our biggest cost, obviously, were flights.
Hmm.
It would have been cheaper to take everyone to Bali. So.
Oh, wow.
But that's not an Australian experience.
No.
So if there is anyone out there that can assist us in any way with the camp, please get in contact with the Herd of Hope, because we would like to make this a twice yearly event, and we have the number of children that need to attend the camps. And this camp's very special to us because five young boys that are attending all lost their dad that became an organ donor, and the six young girls, their siblings became an organ donor, such as one girl, her brother was 3 years old when he passed away.
Mm.
So a very special group of people that we're going to spoil rotten.
That's so good. Oh, it's so lovely. Mm. Now, look, you're a farmer. You've already talked a bit about the challenges of what the regional lifestyle is like. My father-in-law is a farmer, and I know there's a real she'll be right attitude, but there's also a lot of stress that comes with a drought. Are there more challenges for families from rural areas in receiving the same support that people maybe in urban areas get when it comes to transplant?
There is. So we've just conducted a study, the first Australian study on the journey of a transplant recipient that's regionally based, through Dr. Kate Gunn and Professor Ian Olver at the University of South Australia. And those findings are exactly what you said. They just, she'll be right, mate, we get on with it. But what we did was we extended the study to cover the carer, the support network, because we saw and recognised that the success of that person's health relies on that person sitting next to them in bed. And we all walk in and we say to the patient, how are you going? But how many of us look across to the chair and go, how are you going?
Yeah.
And so we've recognised that, and we've got some amazing recommendations that have come out of that study. But I think the problem, even with renal failure, is you can lose up to 90% of your kidney function without any changes to your health. So you just don't know. And then guess what? You start dialysis at 10% of kidney function. So you're right there on the doorstep needing a transplant. So we wanted to enable those families regionally to get on top of their health. And one of the things that came out of the study was that they feel that they know more about their transplant than their local GP. And we know GPs are pushed. So let's give those GPs the information and education that they need to enable those people to stay in regional areas. And really just empower people to go, you know what, I can do this. I can still put a crop of 2,000 acres in for barley this year and still do my dialysis and get on with life. It's about in giving people the tools that they need. There's some saying I can't remember about, don't give a man a fish, give him the tools or the fishing rod to support himself. That was really badly done, sorry. And that's what we're all about. So, yeah.
Before we say goodbye, I'd love to know if there's a specific moment that stuck with you as a result of what Herd of Hope is doing, perhaps providing support for these families.
Yeah, there's been some real light bulb moments for me. Recently, I think one of the hardest things I went through was a little girl that 3 hours out of Adelaide needs a kidney transplant. She's 3 years old. She's been on dialysis since she was 12 months old.
Wow.
And her mum has two older kids, 5 and 9, and those kids at school, before the school holidays, people were saying, oh, what are you doing for your holidays? And they said, we don't go anywhere. You know, Elsie's sick. And to me, that was a light bulb moment where I went, you just don't understand how big this picture is. And then Elsie's mum contacted me a couple of weeks ago because she's gone active on the transplant list, which means she's up there, she's waiting. But the mum was so upset because she realised what the reality was for someone else, that she was primarily waiting for someone else to pass away to save her child. And to me, I hear that story on a regular basis, and it made me go, we really are so grateful for these organ donors in this country. You never get to meet them. I don't know mine. I don't know her name, but she's the most influential person in my life every day. And that's mateship. Mm. And I really came to come to the term that a mateship is actually really alive and well in Australia. If you start doubting it, look at organ donation. It's the most selfish act, a selfless act that a person can do. You're saving someone you've never met. You don't know their circumstances. And to see both sides of the coin, where there's this mum waiting for her three-year-old daughter to be saved at the cost of someone else's life, is what we look at it at. But it's not. It's just a gift. And it's those donor families in this country, they all should be given Australian of the Year awards.
Well, I think your title of Local Hero for South Australia this year is well-deserved, Megan. Honestly, it's so encouraging to hear about all you've done, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear about it as well. If you want to find out more about Herd of Hope, you can do that at herdofhope.com.au. And what are some other ways that our listeners can get involved in, I guess, that and also organ donation?
Yeah, so if you've considered being an organ donor, please talk to your family. Just takes a little bit of stress off them at the time to make the decision. You can imagine that there's been a tragic accident and you've thrown them into a whirlwind anyway. Go on to donatelife.gov.au, register to be an organ donor, tell your family. I'm not pushing you to be one. I completely agree if you don't want to be one, but make it on an educated decision. Do a bit of research, and also follow us on Facebook on the Herd of Hope. We love hearing stories from you. We've just done a tribute to a young boy that would have turned 18 on the weekend from Sydney that wanted to live on a cattle station. He passed away at the age of 13 and became an organ donor. And the tributes on that page in honour of Nathan Grimmo are just amazing. You'll get to see what we're all about. So, yeah.
Megan McLaughlin from Herd of Hope, thanks so much for joining us on Hope Breakfast this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.